any one of us and got saved. Amen. He came into your heart and life. That's the good stuff right there. Amen. Amen. It is a blessed assurance, isn't it? Well, you pray for Brother Tyler as he comes this evening. We'll let him get the mic ready and get ready to preach to me and you. And y'all need it. Amen. Not me. I don't need it, but y'all do. So.
All right. I got you turned on. So.
Thank you, Doc. Ready. I appreciate it. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. Appreciate the good singing tonight. The privilege to be here in the service. I'm going to invite you to take the Word of God. Turn with me, please, to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 13. And again, I want to give thanks to the Lord for the good day. I appreciate what we heard this morning. And my heart was helped and my life was challenged. I want to walk with God, don't you?
Amen.
Amen. I appreciate Brother Steve and what we heard today. And then the privilege to be back tonight, hear this good singing. It's been wonderful. And now the privilege to open the Word of God. We're thankful.
Yes,
some of you have asked where I've been, where I'm going. Brother Steve, did you test this water and make sure it's okay?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, there you go. Anyhow, some of you have asked where we've been. And the question is a little bit everywhere. In June and July, it seemed like we couldn't buy a day at home. But the Lord has got us here near home through August. And I'm rejoicing in that. My grass needs cut. And there's things need to be done around the house. And so I'm thankful for the time the Lord's given us. But you pray for us as we serve around town locally. God will continue to use us. And thank you for being so faithful in your prayers for us week in and week out. We thank God for all of you. Matthew 13. Let's look at verse number 1. I want to read through verse number 9. And then I want to pick up a couple of verses beginning in verse 18. And making our way down through verse number 23. Very familiar text. Matthew said, "The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside. Great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat. And the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. When the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground, brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60-fold, some 30-fold. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear," Jesus said. The disciples come to him in verse number 10, asking about his methods, why he speaks to the multitude in parables, and the other writers tell us that they ask specifically for light on this parable, which Jesus gives in verse number 18. "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it. Yet hath he not rooted himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receives seed among the thorns, see that heareth the word, and the care of this world, and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. He that receives seed into the good ground, he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, and bringeth forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. Read correctly, that's Matthew 13, verses 1 through 9, and verses 18 through 23. If God will help me tonight, I want to preach for just a few minutes on this simple thought. Some won't, but others will. Some won't, but others will. Let's pray together. Father, we are thankful for the privilege to come once again tonight to the house of God, to worship you in spirit and in truth, to gather around the Word of God and hear what you would have to say to us. And we pray for that special anointing of the Holy Ghost as we stand before these, thy people, with thy Word open. We pray, God, that you'll help me, strengthen me, mind, soul, body, and spirit, that I might preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. And open the hearts and the ears of those that would hear tonight. And may your word fall on good ground. May it take root in our hearts and bear fruit in our lives. Unto life eternal we pray. For it is in Jesus' name and for his sake we ask these things. Amen. There is a little town just outside of Cambridge, England, that is known by the name of Water Beach. Water Beach is not a big place. It's not a prominent place. However, it does have a claim to fame. Water Beach is home to the Water Beach Baptist Chapel. It just so happens to be the first church that Charles Haddon Spurgeon ever pastored when he was just a teenage boy. When he went there, there were some 40 in attendance, and when he left in 2 years, there were over 400 in attendance. The little town of Water Beach was a notoriously wicked place, but the revival that God sent in those early years of Spurgeon's ministry so transformed the town that it became a marvel and a wonder, even to the big city of London down the way. Everybody was talking about what had happened in little old Water Beach. Several years ago, I was privileged to visit Water Beach Chapel, and outside of the chapel is a little blue plaque. It's the same kind of little blue plaque that you'll find all over England. Anywhere that a prominent person lived or a prominent person worked or any historic event happened, they have these little blue plaques plastered on the side of the building. This one, the one on the side of Water Beach Chapel, marked what they called the beginning of the ministry of the Prince of Preachers. Spurgeon's been known by that title for some time, but I'm going to submit it's a bit of a misnomer. Spurgeon was a great preacher, no doubt, but he was not the Prince of Preachers. You say, well, who was the Prince of Preachers? I'm of a mind that there's never been a greater preacher than our Lord Jesus Christ. He was a prophet, yes. Our Lord Jesus was a sacrifice, yes. He was many things. But if you look at his earthly ministry, there's one thing he was above all else. Our Lord was a preacher. Somebody said, well, I don't like preachers. Well, you sure wouldn't get along with Jesus because he was a preacher. Jesus was a master preacher. He was masterful in exposition. He was masterful in application. He was masterful in illustration. Jesus knew how to take scenes and sights and objects from common life, draw them before the people to whom he was speaking, and use them to illustrate divine truth. It's exactly what Jesus is doing here in Matthew 13. He's bringing a common scene, the scene of a sower sowing seed, and he's employing that as an illustration to communicate divine truth to the multitudes and to his disciples. It's a familiar parable. There's three things in it that really stand out. Firstly, you have this sower Jesus speaks about in verse number 3. He spake unto them, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. Now that's a pretty good thing for a sower to do. sow. That's what his job is. The sower would have been an instrumental part of an agrarian society like ancient Israel. The commentators tell us that these sowers would take a container in their left hand full of good seed, and they would reach their hand in, the right hand in, and they would scatter that seed upon untilled ground until finally one day the farmer would come by and till the ground and turn the seed over into the dirt and pray for a harvest. These sowers would have been, again, an instrumental part of society, and they would have been very familiar to these people to whom Jesus was speaking. They would have known what a sower looked like. They would have known what a sower did. But Jesus is not talking in this parable about just any sower or any sower that sows any kind of seed. He's talking, remember, about spiritual things. He's using a physical thing to illustrate a spiritual truth. The sower, really, in Matthew 13, is the Lord Jesus Himself. He has come as the preacher to sow the seed of the Word of God into the hearts of men. And not only is He going to be a sower, but all those who would follow Him as His ministers, they are to be sowers as well. It's really a radical thing Jesus is revealing in this language of a sower sowing seed, just how His kingdom is going to flourish in the earth. You see, most kingdoms grow and expand by military conquest or by trade deals or market deals. But the kingdom of our Lord Jesus is not like the kingdoms of this world. It's not going to grow by some great military campaign. No, it's going to grow the same way seed grows. Someone's going to sow the word of the kingdom, and that word's going to take root. It's going to grow up and bear fruit. And that's how the kingdom of our Lord Jesus has been expanding for 2,000 years and evermore shall until He comes again. There's a sower in this text. There's a seed in this text. Jesus tells us plainly that the seed is symbolic of the Word of God or the Word of the kingdom. And then there is a soil in this text, or there's various kinds of soil. And this, of course, is a picture of the hearts of men. Jesus and His ministers sow the good seed of the Word of God, and that seed falls on all sorts of kinds of soil. It falls in all sorts of different hearts, some that are prepared to receive it, some that are not prepared to receive it. Now, it's possible to have a bad sower, isn't there? It's possible for there to be a wicked or a sower with a false motivation. It's possible to have corrupt seed, seed that's not the good, rich, vibrant, unadulterated Word of God. It's possible to have bad sower and a bad seed, and it's possible to have bad soil. And if you have one bad thing in this lot, you really don't have much of a right to expect a good harvest. But here's the part that's got me. Jesus says you can have a good sower, you can have good seed, and still have varying results in harvest, depending on the condition of that soil. I know you know this, but we're all called to be sowers tonight. We're all called to share the truth of the precious Word of God. This is our seed. And if we're doing our job as believers, we're going to sow this in the lives of our children, in the lives of our grandchildren, in the lives of the people we come in contact with. We're going to do our best to get the good seed out. But the truth is, some will take the word and be fruitful, and others won't. It's our job just to be faithful, isn't it? Let's think about this for just a few minutes together, this phenomena of having a good sower, good seed, and varying results. Let me say three things tonight, and I'll be through. First, I want to remind you that according to Jesus in the parable, some won't receive, but others will. Some won't receive the word, but others will. Again, in verse number 4, Jesus speaks of some of the seed by the good sower falling by the wayside. And when the seed fell by the wayside, Jesus said, the fowls came and devoured them up. In His explanation of the parable in verse number 19, Jesus said, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not. Then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside. The truth of the matter is, as we go forth, like good sowers sowing good seed, every now and again, the seed falls on wayside hearts, if you would allow me to use that term. It's like seed falling in a path. The writers tell us that often in Israel there would be paths in the fields where the sowers would walk, just like there's paths in your garden where you walk to get from plant to plant. The idea is that the seed is spread indiscriminately. It's not placed carefully. It's spread as far as it can get, to as much dirt as it can get. But some of it falls on unproductive soil. Let me just say right there, let me pause and remind you that we're not to be selective about where we sow the seed. We're to sow the seed to anyone who'll listen, and even to those who won't listen. But as we sow it, sometimes it falls on that rough patch of ground. It's not prepared for it. It's not ready for it. And Jesus says, really, the good seed goes to waste in these wayside hearers. Let me note two things about them. What causes them to be so ineffective in receiving the word and bearing fruit? Well, firstly, you'll note there's no settling of the word in their hearts. There's no settling of the word. The seed is sown, but it just lands on the hard-packed soil of the path. And it's not allowed to penetrate deep beneath the earth's surface so that it can take root and eventually produce fruit. It doesn't settle like it should settle. Now, according to Jesus, these are people that do hear the word, but the word just never gets past their ears. And can I say tonight that it's possible for there to be people on the street corner and on a church pew who are like these people who Jesus says are represented by the wayside? They hear the word of God. Perhaps they hear a great preaching, great sound Bible teaching, but that word never gets below their eardrums. It just settles there and never settles in into their hearts. The old Scots, they used to say the Scots were professional sermon tasters. Scotland was once known as the land of many revivals. There were great men and preachers that came through Scotland, great moves of God that came across the Scottish countryside. And the people of Scotland became so accustomed with good preaching that they really, instead of becoming believers and real Christians, they were critics. They would sit in their pews on Sunday with their arms crossed and look at the preacher and critique his every move, critique his every mannerism, and they would taste the sermon to see whether or not they liked it or not. Well, their kind is still alive and well. And they're alive and well in the southeastern part of the United States. I'd like to bear witness for you or to you tonight. They hear the word. They it's there. It's not that they don't hear it, but they hear it with the wrong attitude, the wrong spirit. And it never really gets down in their heart. I want to say to you tonight, there's a danger for all of us. We're the most blessed people on the face of God's earth to hear the kind of preaching that we hear. I hope you would know that there are people all across this world would give anything for a Bible preacher. There are people all across even our country who would give anything for a Bible preacher. And here we are in the good old US of A in the southeastern part of this country. We got more preachers we can shake stick at. Good preachers, Bible preachers. We are blessed to hear it, but there's a danger for us for getting so used to hearing preaching that preaching no longer has an effect in our lives. We're just like the wayside. There's no settling of the word. Then not only is there no settling of the word, but you'll note Jesus speaks of the stealing of the word. He not only says that the word falls by the wayside, but there's someone that his business picks up when the seed hits the ground in the wayside. It's the wicked one. Jesus said, no sooner does that seed fall on the wayside than the wicked one comes. He's illustrated by the birds of the air. They come and they pick up the seed that's most easily accessible. It's not hidden. They're able to grab it and snatch it up. Jesus said that's a picture of what the devil does. When a man hears the word of God and it doesn't get down in his heart, the devil's the first one to come and take that truth and steal it away from him. Matthew Henry, the great commentator, said that the devil is the great thief of sermons. Have you ever heard a sermon and by the time you got to the parking lot, you couldn't remember a word of what was said? I remember when I was a little boy, my granddaddy was a pastor here in the town, and I remember my daddy used to say to me every Sunday, "Son, when we get in the car, you better be able to tell me what your granddaddy preached on today." And so I'd go to church and I'd listen real hard and I'd try to remember. And that's honest truth. I'd try to remember, try to have at least something to say so that Daddy wouldn't whip me when I got home. And finally, I learned that little old trick you all know. Daddy'd say, "What'd your granddaddy preach on today?" I'd say, "Preached on Jesus." Amen. The truth is, we all know the experience, don't we? We hear the word of God, but we go out in the parking lot or we forget it. Or maybe we remember it. Maybe we get home on Sunday night and we remember it. But if you were to ask somebody on Monday afternoon what the preacher preached on Sunday, they probably couldn't tell you. You say, "What's going on?" Well, it could be. It could be. Now, we could blame it on our natural aging process. We just don't remember like we used to remember. We could blame it on the busyness of Monday. We just had a crazy day. We could blame it on a lot of things, and those might be true. But it might be an indication that we're not really listening while we're listening.
Right.
And that the Word of God, though we're hearing it, is not really getting root in our lives. And by Monday afternoon, the devil's come and snatched it away. I'm going to tell you, as you sow seed, some won't receive. They're like the wayside. The word will fall on deaf ears. And before it's all said and done, the enemy will steal the seed and there'll be no profit. It's a sad truth, isn't it?
Yep.
Some won't receive, but others will. Yep. And then there's a second group Jesus refers to. Not only are there some who won't receive, but others will. There's some who won't remain, but others will. Jesus speaks not only of those who hear the word like the wayside hearers, but he talks about this seed that falls upon stony places in verse number 5. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched because they had no root, and they withered away. In his explanation in verse 20, he that receives seed into the stony places, the same as he that heareth the word and anon, or immediately, with joy receiveth it. Yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. When tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended or caused to trip up, as the word implies. These stony place hearers, let me say two things about them. First, you'll note that they are full of promise and potential at the beginning. The seed goes among the stony places and immediately it springs up, quick. The farmer, the sower, goes out and sows. The next day he comes out and he looks and he says, "My goodness, it looks like we've got a little plant growing here." And then in a day or two, man, business is picking up in this little old field. But it gets hot, day or three or four, and next thing you know, it's the little old plant that was so full of promise has withered up and died. Jesus says that's a picture of how some people receive the word. They hear it, and immediately it seems to have an impact on their life. And with joy they receive it. And they look like, man, they really got a hold of what that preacher was saying. And it looks like there's change and progress and growth and establishment in their lives. I'm telling you, this looks good. It looks promising. I thought about that little phrase Jesus used. He said that those who received the seed among stony places receive it with joy. And I thought, not only do they receive it with joy, but those who see them receive it with joy. We're filled with joy too.
Yeah, right.
How many times do you see somebody come into the church over the years, and man, when they come in, they just got that look about them. Sin's wreaked havoc on their life. It looks like everything's coming apart in their family. But they come to the house of God and they hear the preaching of the Word. And before long, man, God moves in a service. And when God moves, He seems to touch them. He seems to touch their life. And maybe they even come to the altar and they pray and they weep and they talk to the pastor. And man, it looks like everything's going to be good. And don't we rejoice at that? We say, thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in so-and-so's life. Praise God for what you're doing. But in a few weeks, you can't find them with an FBI search warrant. Jesus said, some people hear it and they spring up quick. But just give it a little time and they die out quick. I've often been concerned when I see a church shoot up overnight. It bothers me. I remember when I was pastoring, we had a time, or through the years in my pastoral ministry as an associate and other things, or a few times through the years we'd have a group come to whatever church I was serving. About 10, 15 people would show up on a Sunday morning and they'd tell you all they're looking for a church. I'd always get nervous, buddy. Because I knew what that meant. That meant they got mad at the preacher up the road, so they're going to come down here and in 6 months they'll be mad at me. Churches that shoot up overnight often die overnight. And isn't it something how people who really don't last, they seem to shoot up quicker than the ones that do. Shoot up quick and then they die out quick. They're full of promise. But Jesus says they're fickle in principle. Listen to what happens. They wither out, and Jesus gives this explanation for why they wither out. He says in verse 21, He hath not root in Himself. Ain't that something? Matthew Henry, to quote him again, he said, to have no principle, even though there is profession, will never equal perseverance. To have a profession of faith, but not to have any real root, is a pretty good indication you're not going to last. Beloved, our churches are filled with people who've heard the Word. They've heard the preaching of the Word. They've even received it. But they're an inch deep in their commitment to Christ. They're an inch deep in the impact it's made on their life. And I want to tell you something. When the heat is on, and when persecution comes, and when the devil shows up knocking at their door, how many know the devil don't like it when you live for God? When that stuff starts happening, you know what happens? They'll fizzle out and they will die. Some won't receive the Word, but others will. Some won't remain, but others will. And there's a third group I'll mention, and I'll be through tonight. Jesus said some won't ripen, but others will. There's this crowd illustrated by the seed cast on the wayside. There's a crowd illustrated by this seed cast on stony ground. And then there's a crowd illustrated by this seed that falls among the thorns. Some fell among thorns, Jesus said, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. And then coming down to his explanation in verse 22, he also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word. Isn't that an interesting choice of words? Choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful, Jesus said. Now, if you'll note, there's a progression going on here. The seed that's cast by the wayside never roots, but this never even sprouts up. This seed that's cast upon the stony places, it goes a little further than the seed by the wayside. It does at least sprout. It just doesn't last. This seed that's cast among thorns, it goes further than the other two. It seems to take root. And it seems to grow. And it seems to look like a pretty healthy plant. But here's the problem. Even though it goes further than the other seed, it comes short of what the seed is designed to do. The sower does not sow seed just so that a plant can grow. The sower sows seed so that ultimately he can get fruit off of that plant. This plant grows, but because of the thorns that are choking it out, it doesn't produce any fruit. And that's an illustration of some hearers, isn't it? The Word of God gets in their heart. They hear it. They receive it. They seem to have root in their life. But somewhere down the line, something is introduced into their experience. And that something, Jesus is going to tell us what it is, ultimately begins to choke out the life of God. And they, though they look good, they don't bear any fruit. What are these two things that choke out? Well, first you'll note Jesus talks about how this man, who's illustrated by this seed among the thorns, how the life of God is crowded out by domestic things in his life. He also that receives seed among thorns is he that heareth the word. Listen to this phrase, and the care of this world, the care of this world chokes the word. This is a man who starts out good. Somewhere down the line, his domestic responsibilities become his focal point in life. And he gets his eyes off of the things of God and onto the things of this world. And before you know it, again, he looks good, but he don't have any fruit on him. Can I just be honest? I think our churches are filled with people just like this. Man, they look the part. They dress up and come to church every week, every Sunday. If you were to examine their lives, they're barren. There's no fruitfulness. There's no joy in their Christian experience. There's no vibrancy in their prayer life. There's no effective witness in their home or in their community. They're there and they look good and they've gone further than the wayside hearers and the stony place hearers. They've at least hung around. There ain't no fruit. And it's because somewhere down the line, the care of this world. Now, I want to be clear tonight. If a man don't take care of his family, don't you come to me telling me about your walk with God. Can I get a witness right there? A man ought to take care of his wife, and a man ought to take care of his children, and mama ought to see to it that the children are reared in the things of God. I mean, we all have our responsibilities. We all have bills to pay, and we have things to do, and roofs to put over our family's head, and all of that is good. If a man's not going to work, don't let him eat, Paul said. But there is a limit, isn't there? Of being in the world and using the world to further the gospel, or being consumed by the world and the things of God, suffering because of it. Jesus says, there's a crowd out there that hears the word. They look good, but the fruit is crowded out by domestic things. The life of God's crowded out by domestic things. And they don't bear any fruit in their lives. And then he says that this fruit is choked out by deceitful things. He speaks of the care of this world. Then he speaks of the deceitfulness of riches. What about that? Deceit, the dishonesty, the lying of money. The implication is that somewhere down the line, somebody believed what riches were saying to them, only to find out that the riches were lying to them the whole time. Did you know money talks? And it'll talk to you. And it'll say things like this: if you just had more of me, I could really make you happy. And I know it's the Lord's day, but man, if you just come on down the factory and make that double time, bless God, you'll get a good vacation next week. That's all right, ain't it? Money talks to us, and it pulls at us, and it says, find in me the answer to all your problems. And many are the people who sit in Baptist churches just like this. Money's got their ear. Somewhere down the line, they believed what money was saying, and money became more important to them than the things of God. And you know what happens? That money chokes the fruit out of their life. And they're there. They find themselves sitting on a church pew week after week, but no fruit for God in their lives. Jesus paints a pretty sad picture. He says, look, if you're going to go out as a good sower and you're going to sow seed, you need to be prepared. You need to understand there's going to be times you sow seed and they're not going to receive it. And there's going to be times you sow seed and they look like they've received it, but they're not going to remain. They're not going to last. They're not going to... It's just going to happen. It's part of it. And then Jesus says, you need to be aware. You're going to sow seed sometimes and that seed's going to fall and it's going to have every indication that it's going to be a thriving, healthy plant. But at the end of the day, the world is going to get involved in that individual's life and they're going to sit there with all of their leaves but no fruit. Jesus said, you need to be prepared. Some won't receive. Some won't remain. Some won't ripen. That's the nature of ministry. But here's the good news. Others will. Jesus says it in his opening words of the parable, or this opening stanza of the parable. I love the way Jesus uses this language. He says, and some seeds fell by the wayside. Some fell upon stony places. Some fell among thorns, verse 8, but other. Aren't you glad for that other? Some won't receive it, but some will. Some won't remain, but some will. Some won't ripen, but some will. Others will. Here's what I've come by to say to you tonight. Jesus said, this other seed falls into good ground, brings forth fruit, some 100, some 60, some 30-fold. He who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Verse 23, he that receives seed in the good ground is the one that hears the word and understands it, bears fruit. Here's my message tonight. What kind of sower are you? Are you sowing the seed like you're commanded to? What kind of seed are you sowing? Are you sowing the good seed of the Word of God to your children, your grandchildren, those you come into contact with? And then I thought I might ask you, what kind of soil are you? Are you like the wayside hears the Word of God just falls on you, but it don't make any real difference in your life? Are you that kind of soul that, man, you'll get fired up about God during a revival meeting, but your spirituality seems to only run on 6-week cycles? Is that you? Or are you the one here tonight that could say, preacher, I've heard the word and I've hung around church all my life, but if I'm honest, there ain't a lick of fruit in my life. Aren't you glad that bad soil can become good soil? If you'll break up the fallow ground in your heart tonight and be honest with God and say, Lord, I don't want to be like the wayside. Lord, I don't want to be like the stony places. Lord, I don't want to be like the one that the life of God's choked out. But Lord, I want to be good soil. I want to bring forth fruit. If you'll do that, the cultivator knows how to get the job done. He can break up that hard ground on the wayside. He can dig up them stones and make that ground just as soft as it can be. He knows how to deal with the thorns in your life. He knows how to get you into shape to receive the word and bear fruit. Amen. What kind of soul are you? And then I wanted to say to sowers tonight, don't get discouraged when some won't. You witness to your children, and they don't want to hear what you've got to say. I've come by to say, don't get discouraged when some won't. Or maybe you win that friend of the Lord at work, and you get them coming to church, and man, it looks like things are taken. 6 weeks later, you can't find them with a search warrant. Listen, don't get discouraged because some won't remain. Or maybe you look around and disgusted. The worldliness of the church. Don't get discouraged with those that don't ripen. You just keep sowing that seed. Sow it everywhere you can, to everyone you can. And I want to promise you on the authority of this parable, Jesus says, some won't, but others will. Some of it's bound to fall on good ground. It'll bring forth a harvest. I don't know how big the harvest will be. It might be 30-fold, might be 60-fold, it might be 100-fold. But I know this, if the good sower ever gets good seed into good soil, there'll be a harvest. Some won't, but others will. Would you stand to your feet, please, all across the building tonight? Maybe tonight you're like one of those bad soils that need to be fixed up. Be a good night just to say, Lord, please help me. It'd be a good thing for you and I to do every time you come into this building to say, Lord, help my heart to be ready to receive the Word of God. Lord, my preacher's prayed and studied. He's ready to deliver a message from you. Lord, help me be just as ready to hear as he is ready to preach. It'd be a good thing for you to do in your life week by week. Maybe you're just discouraged tonight. You need to come talk to the Lord about it, whatever the Lord would have you to do. Let me pray for you. Father, thank you for the truth of this parable. Thank you, Lord, that though some won't, others will. Help us to be faithful to sow the good seed everywhere we can. And help us all to be good soil ready to receive what you have to say to us. Encourage some heart. Touch some heart tonight, we pray, through the preaching of your word. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, you come.